Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The Animal's Eye View with Lizanne Flynn is a hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Lizanne will uncover life lessons for both animal and human from the animal's perspective and will share the wise voices of our wild animal companions. It's an animal's unquestionable intuition that guides Lizanne, a world-renowned animal communicator. Learn why your companion selected you and how you might experience love, compassion, and understanding. For all animals. They're here to help us understand the mirror they are for our life journey. Lizanne will assist you in understanding animals as life beings here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you? Now, here's your host, Lizanne Flynn.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lizanne Flynn, and you are listening to the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. We're going to be talking about whether animals have feelings, emotions. We might even dip a little bit into the thoughts category for animals and what science has to say about that. Before we get to that, I thought we would kick off the day, and happy Halloween, everybody. I'd love to hear from you today. Our call-in number is 1-800-930-2819. It can range from any kind of question you might have about an animal companion, an intuitive question for yourself. And since the veil, of course, now between this world and the next world is at its thinnest, today would be a good day if you would like to get some connection with a loved one, either animal or human, that has already transitioned to spirit. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to share what kind of Halloween costume you're going to be wearing this weekend, or if you are going to be wearing a Halloween costume. I was just talking to Chrissy, the fabulous and amazing Chrissy, my producer for today, my producer every Thursday on the show, who deserves a round of applause, most definitely. And I told her I was going to be going to the Denver Witches Ball, because that's where I live here, is in Colorado, in Denver. And that's on Saturday, and in exchange for some volunteer hours at the Will Call window, which I thought would be the funnest place to be, because then I would get to see all sorts of the costumes that people come in with, all the little kids that are dressed up and all that sort of stuff. And I myself am going to be going as a zombie fairy. A good friend of mine, when I asked him for some input as to what kind of costume I should wear to this event on Saturday, he said, "I see you in wings." I'm not sure that I see myself in wings. So I thought about that for a second and I thought, let's see here now. What could I do with wings? And being just a regular fairy, to me, personally, seems a little on the light side. I think it's fine if you're maybe under, 10. But a little bit older than that, it was my preference to mix a little bit of the dark in with that light, because I think that's how life is, the light and the dark. And so that's where I thought, Eureka, zombie fairy. And wouldn't you know it, they actually do have costumes for zombie fairies. It's an amazing world out there, everybody. But before we get into our topic for today, I have a treat for you. Yes, this is not a trick, it's a treat. I thought that we might spend just a few minutes, shaking our groove to an oldie but a goodie, something that probably all radio stations play on Halloween, and that's the Monster Mash. So without further ado, Chrissy, if you dial that up, everybody, I'll see you after the song.
For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghoul
wolf all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Wow.
The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Wow.
The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds.
Wow.
Igor on chains, backed by his baying hound.
Wow.
The coffin bangers were about to arrive.
Wow.
With their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Wow.
Out from his coffin, Jack's voice did ring.
Wow.
Seemed he was troubled by just one thing.
Wow.
Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
wow.
Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on and flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Gordy sent.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And you, my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Wasn't that just absolutely fabulous? I hope you were just sitting there, wherever you were, even if you were on the road, you know, just kind of sitting there rocking out, and the person next to you in the car kind of goes, huh, I wonder what's going on with that person. They look like they're having a good time, and you are, and so good for you. And I hope that whatever you do tonight and over the weekend, that you maybe begin to immerse yourself into what this holiday is all about. This holiday, actually, as most things being Celtic in origin, most things start out good in this world, come from the Celtic people, actually started out with the pagan holiday of Samhain. And Samhain, spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, was actually celebration of the harvest. It was the time for them to gather in their harvest and for them to celebrate everything wonderful that had happened during the harvest. It was time for them to bring the cows in, store up food for the winter. It was a very special time for them. They typically would light fires, knowing that this was the time of the year when the nights began to get longer, so they needed fires to kind of help light their way a little bit. The other thing that they did originally was to carve jack-o'-lanterns, although not necessarily out of pumpkins, but out of turnips. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but I think that would be kind of a difficult thing to do because a turnip is a much different critter than a pumpkin is. But, of course, they had all sorts of mythological things about the banshees that might come up at this point in time. So while this was a time of great celebration and light for them, it was also a time, for them to balance heading into the darker times of the year. And I think that Halloween is really one of those great times where you can put on something a little bit different, where you can maybe show a side of yourself that you haven't shown before, because everybody else is doing it, and because sometimes that just feels really good to be able to do, to kind of put on that alter ego and to step into this place. I think it can be really liberating, and I think from what I hear from actors and actors' interviews and things like that, I think that's what it's like for actors to be able to put on a different persona just for a little while. So whatever you do, I hope that you do it safely and do it in a a joyous and a joyful way. We're going to be heading into our break here in just a minute. And when we come back, as I said, we're going to be talking about the question of the day is, do animals have emotions? I say most definitely they do based on my own personal experience. I would love to hear from you. We're going to be talking a little bit about what science says about animals having emotions, so I hope you'll stay tuned. This is the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'm Lizanne Flynn, your host.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to the Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for the Sandy Brewer Show.
We're back on Transformation Talk Radio with the Animal's Eye View. I'm your host, Lizanne Flynn. As I said right before we went into break, the question of the day is, do animals have feelings? Do animals have feelings, thoughts, emotions, all those sorts of things? And I'm going to put Chrissy, my producer, on the spot because just after we headed into break, she said, my dog absolutely has feelings and emotions, and she speaks with her eyes. And Chrissy, tell everybody what you were telling me about your dog being multilingual.
Well, I was actually practicing for my Spanish class the other day. My dog was sleeping next to me, and I actually said dog in Spanish, which is perro, and she lifted up her head out of a dead sleep, looked at me, and was like, yeah, that's me, and went back to sleep. It was really amazing, and that just showed me that she is totally in tune.
Absolutely. Well, and they all are. And as I said to Chrissy, that's a classic example of the telepathy that intuitive communication that animals do with us and with each other all of the time. They don't need to speak a verbal language. The level that they're at as beings, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit, calling them animal beings, just like we're human beings, I think it's only fair that they be called animal beings. They don't need this spoken word to be able to communicate. They're so good, number one, first of all, at nonverbal communication, but truly when you get into that place of communicating with them one-on-one like I do on an ongoing basis, there are so many layers, there's so many levels. There's the day-to-day level, there's the higher self level, there's the intuitive making leaps into the future, and here's how it's going to be for me when I start to transition level. Their complexity is one of the things that I love most about them and that I find to be absolutely and completely magical. So, like Chrissy, if you have a story to share about any animal emotion that you've experienced or witnessed, I would love for you to lend your support to our voices to be heard by human beings everywhere by calling in with your stories. Again, that talk phone number is 1-800-930-2819. You can also go online to Transformation Talk Radio. And on the right-hand side, there's a little box where you can shoot a question to me. I will admit that my internet has been a little on the glitchy side since lovely Mercury began the retrograde. So if I miss that, I'll try to get to those things, but just know that it's not intentional upon my part.
Yes.
Thank you, Chrissy. So as I said, science says maybe. And by the end of our time together today, you might be wondering if I'm really as fond of science as I typically say that I am. I did just recently amend my list of all sciences to just a few. Well, one, really, and that being Albert Einstein. I'm sure there might be more that eventually are going to work their way into my heart. And then again, if I look at science and scientists from a place of compassion, I'm able to say to them, job well done in explaining some of the mysteries, what were previously mysteries of the world to us in a thoughtful and a pragmatic way. And I would invite them to step to the side and continue doing their research, their experiments, although never on animals, gathering their data, and I would extend a hand of partnership to them as we explore the wide world of animals together and their place on this planet at this point in time. I do think that science can be a good tool to use, but at the same time, the quote that I'm about to read to you from Albert Einstein indicates that one of the preeminent scientists of all time, certainly at this point in time on this planet, believes otherwise. So the quote from Einstein is, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. We will not solve the problems of the world from the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. More than anything else, this new century demands new thinking. We must change our materially based analyses of the world around us to include broader, more multidimensional perspectives." And I don't know about you, but just reading that aloud, reading it silently to myself, it just kind of gives me chills. Because truly, I think he was an individual that partnered with his intuitive mind, that understood that science is an art, music is an art, any sort of creative endeavor is an art. And when you have that, there typically is a highly developed intuitive muscle, as you all know I like to call it, at work, that's connecting you directly to the universe, to the divine, to source, whatever your word is for it, and bringing this information into you that the human mind isn't capable of getting on its own. We're definitely in a partnership with the universe. So the hand that I would extend to scientists is made up of distinctly non-scientific things, telepathy, intuition, and a dramatically redesigned paradigm where our oneness with the other light beings on the planet comes in as a bedrock of founding principles for this new world order. I've been listening to, on the internet lately, Russell Brand. I would invite you to Google or YouTube any Russell Brand lately. he's become quite the revolutionary figure, and I have to say I find myself agreeing with a good majority of what it is that he says. A new world created from multidimensional perspectives and the already existing knowledge that animals are sentient beings with souls and higher selves. The only difference is that their animal experience is a spiritual being, and humans, the human animal, is having a human experience. And come to think of it, they outnumber our species. At last count in 2010 from the World Conservation Union, of 1.7 million to one. That's right, there's only one of us, human animal, and 1.7 million of them, vertebrates, invertebrates, etc. So why is it that we humans refer to them as the non-human animal if we're so outnumbered? Wouldn't it be more equitable to say that we're non-animal humans? Yes, it would, and science would surely counter with all beings that are motile, meaning moving around, and ingesting other substances for nourishment are classified as animals. Well, okay then. How about hue animal, or maybe animal hue? Truly, can't we, as we perceive ourselves to be the more intelligent species, come up with something that's more representative of our numbers? And that's just it, gentle listeners. We do have a thinking mind that many say trumps the animal thinking mind. But does that necessarily lead us to also be tops in the order of consciousness and self-awareness? I don't think anymore, and science really agrees with me on this one. I've relayed on this program before about the Cambridge Declaration of Consciousness from 2012, wherein a number of prominent scientists and animal behaviorists declared that animals also possess the ability for self-awareness and thus a state of consciousness. We'll put this in line with the Lisbon Treaty of 2009, which replaced the EU Treaty of 2007, which states in part, in formulating and implementing the Union's agricultural, fisheries, transport, internal market, research and technological development and space policies, the Union and the member states shall, since animals are sentient beings, pay full regard to the welfare requirements of animals. And I think that's a phenomenal and a really amazing thing for a country to come right straight out and say, yep, absolutely. They are sentient beings. This may sound like heresy to some scientists, and yet to other animal behaviorists and those of comparative psychology, which is the study of animals, and ethology, which is a focus on animal behavior under natural conditions, it resonates on so many levels. Mark Beckoff, I'm a big fan of Mark Beckoff, who has written before about the souls and emotions of animals in his book, The Emotional Lives of Animals, was listed on an internet search as being incredulous with the Cambridge Declaration of Consciousness. He said, and I quote, "I frankly don't see how anyone who has worked closely with any of a wide array of animals or who lives with a companion animal could remain uncertain and agnostic about whether they are conscious." I don't disagree with that statement, yet at the same time in the same article, he goes on to state that only one of the 15 notable scientists making this declaration had conducted any research on wild animals. And so my question to that is, really, are we still waiting for science to prove to the rest of us that our four-legged family members are capable of feeling Darwin's six universal emotions, those being anger, disgust, fear, happiness, sadness, and surprise? But even as I list those, I say to myself, well, those are human emotions, and in particular, animals just don't do angry. They do fear, pain, love, and trust, and I think a whole other cadre of emotions listed besides these four, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. So these emotions are classified, again, by science as being simple, and that animals have yet to display the more complex emotions of contempt, jealousy, and sympathy. And even as I list those, I think to myself, really, do we want them to display contempt, jealousy, certainly sympathy, and most definitely empathy? And perhaps they haven't yet seen or heard of the stories happening out there in the world about sentient beings of different species that are reaching out for each other, that are commingling and sharing lives of compassion, support, and love for each other simply because they can. And how do we as human animals treat the rest of our family? In comparison, I don't think we do. We're heading into our break, and this brings to mind the lyrics of Peter Gabriel's song, Animal Nation. I wasn't able to get a downloaded MP3 copy to play for you today. I invite you to YouTube it at some point in time and enjoy it as a full replay. When we come back from our break, we'll be looking at the lyrics to his song, and because he specifically talks about working with bonobo apes and making music together, which truly is magical. I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Lizanne Flynn, and this is the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Transformation Talk Radio with the Animal's Eye View. I'm your host, Lizanne Flynn. We're talking about whether animals have emotions and what science has to say about that. Again, if there's any stories you'd like to share with me, I would invite you to call into our 1-800 number. And let me bomb up there to the top and get that again. That's 1-800-930-2819. I would love to hear from you. The internet has still been a little bit glitchy, but I am checking in to see if anybody's leaving me feedback. And so far, so good. So we'll continue on. Before the break, I was talking about this really great song that actually one of my Facebook friends, fans, colleagues shared with me, Peter Gabriel, Animal Nation. And I think he performed it as part of a movie involving the Thornberrys. I don't admit to being up on what that movie's about, but as I say, if you just go to YouTube and Google it, just honestly, this song will actually give you chills. So let me just read a few of the lyrics here to you today. I didn't meet you in the jungle swinging from a tree. I sat down at the piano. You were playing with me. I couldn't believe all the things you could do. The apes I've seen were in the zoo. They say we are unique with this language we speak, but you have proved them wrong. Skinner and Chomsky, how could they be so blind with evidence this strong? Intelligent life is all around us. Intelligent life is all around us. When you watch King Kong or Planet of the Apes upon your video screen, when the animals die, tears fill your eye and you question what you've seen. Intelligent life is all around us. Intelligent life is all around us. You can search the internet, you can use your video phone, to call another friend. If we gave you all the tools, you can do whatever you want. Who knows when this will end? Intelligent life is all around us. Intelligent life is all around us. And I'm mixing up the lyrics here just a little bit. hey, bonobo woman, hey, bonobo man, look in your eyes, that's where I come from. Hey, bonobo woman, hey, bonobo man, talk to me now, I am listening. And the lyrics just go on like that until the end. And he goes on to say, starting to hear the things you said, getting to know what's going on in your head. There's no humans on the line, but there will be plenty more there in good time. Dolphins, cats, and elephants. This is not some wild romance. Just look in their eyes and say it's not true. Look in their eyes. They're checking out you. Communication with the animal nation. We are in communication with the animal nation. And the thing I like most about the song and the lyrics is this repetition of being in communication with the animal nation. And that's another change I would invite the scientific community to undertake, to consider all animals to be part of one nation, just as the human animal is part of one nation. And actually, looking up the word human comes from the words homo sapiens, meaning human or man. And the word animal comes from the Latin animus, meaning soul. So I think if we're going to be totally scientific about it, though, since we're all animals, and so if we're really partial to being called human beings, let's make it animal being as well. It seems to fit right in there with the Cambridge Declaration of Consciousness, a nation of human beings and a nation of animal beings. Yet even as we are at this point of human and animal beings with these other sentient beings of a different species being placed under our care and guardianship, there is yet another area of science that studies the animal being and casts aspersions on behavior, the majority of which is the responsibility of the guardian or of the human animal. And certainly the good thing is vets are recognizing that, quote, an animal's psychological state is an important part of its living conditions in domestication or captivity. And the quote goes on to say, common causes of disordered behavior in captive or pet animals are lack of stimulation, inappropriate stimulation, or overstimulation. These conditions can lead to disorders, unpredictable and unwanted behavior, and sometimes even physical symptoms and diseases. And let me take a break just for a second from that quote. Who does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like human beings to you if we have lack of stimulation, inappropriate stimulation, or overstimulation? That can cause our physical bodies to break down. It can cause dis-ease. So how is that any different from animals? The way dogs behave when understimulated is widely believed to depend upon the breed as well as on the individual animal's character. And I couldn't agree with that more. As I've said before, in working with clients one-on-one and in public on the radio, the one thing that an animal communicator can't do is take breeding out of a dog because that's in the genetics. The same thing for very human-based behaviors that are innate and instinctual to the human animal. Dogs are also prone to psychological damage if they are subjected to violence. Again, that's not anything necessarily new. The systematic study of disordered animal behavior draws on research in comparative psychology, including the early work on conditioning and instrumental learning, but also on ethological studies of natural behavior. However, at least in the case of familiar domestic animals, it also draws on the accumulated experience of those who worked closely with the animals. And so that gets me back to my original point. The human being is experiencing, as Chrissy so eloquently demonstrated, a different kind of reality, a different kind of connection with her companion animal, with the animal being. And I would love to see that come forefront or at least partner along with science and the scientific community. And so the translation of this is that when animals are in captivity and are domesticated and not given the proper stimulation for their breed, they can become bored and destructive. And moreover, when animals are in captivity and who are domesticated, they are completely dependent upon their human guardians to provide for them an environment in which they can flourish and be in complete and total harmony with their natural state. So how is it that these behaviors of our animals are their fault? How is it that we can even label them as being disordered when their highest and best good wasn't honored in these situations by the thinking human being? I've mentioned before in the show and others the remarkable effect that music has on all animals and a certain kind of music, classical music. There was actually a study done here in the state of Colorado at the Colorado School, State University in their School of Veterinary Medicine, and they did studies on playing music, all different kinds of music, specifically for shelter dogs. They played rock, they played heavy metal, they played soul, they played rhythm and blues. And the kind of music that proved to be most soothing to them, again, as indicated by outward behaviors, less pacing in the kennels, less jumping and charging the kennel doors, was classical music. And while you might think this is a relatively new phenomenon, the phrase "music calms the savage beast" is actually from a play in 1697 by William Congreve. And in fact, the quote is, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast." And by that, I take a human at heart. It's interesting to note that while this is a misquote that's developed over the years, it's developed to the point that beasts, meaning creatures, can be savage, and that music is needed to calm them. Or maybe it's just me and I'm being too literal about that. But I don't think so. Just on saying that phrase, "music calms the savage beast," I think an assumption is made that the beast is savage. And we all know that animals react out of fear or pain, not because they're pissed off or angry. That's a common misconception about animals and is, I think, anthropomorphizing them to say that they're given the purely human emotion of anger. And if you haven't already, I invite you to check out the wonderful CDs, Through a Dog's Ear. You can get them online. Some of your local like Whole Foods, Vitamin Cottages, at least here in Colorado, might have them for both human and animals, and not just dogs, because I've used them with all kinds of animals. These CDs are amazingly calming and remarkably soothing for all sentient beings. And yet this concept of music being soothing to animals is far from a new theory. And again, quoting from the internet, and even before I'm going to say this quote, because we're getting ready to head into our another break, and I can't believe this hour is going by so fast, as it usually does when I'm with all of you wonderful people talking about animals and people and the lovely bond that we have with them. This is something that was discovered back in the 11th century by an Arabic psychologist who wrote the treatise on the influence of melodies on the souls of animals. Talk about being progressive. But again, this is something that science were just only recently coming around to and discovering, rediscovering, it seems like. And that's my only quarrel, I think, with science, is that if you bring it forefront and you say, yes, this really does work, this is how the animals are, this is their behavior, science immediately says, well, we have to have some quantifiable data. I submit that at this point we do have enough quantifiable data, and it's made up of people in everyday life interacting with companion animals, with animals that are service, what I call service animals, those animals being sheep, cattle, goats, that music definitely does calm them. They definitely do have souls, and they definitely do have emotions. Everybody, we're heading into our third and final break. I'm so excited to be with you and sharing this information with you. My name is Lizanne Flynn. I'm the host of the Animal's Eye View here on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a few.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio, that's my line. Non-stop shows, 24 hours, 7 days. Positive talk radio is the new craze. Learn to live your life the best you can. All hosts of TTR will lend a hand. Transform, inspire, educate, create. Tune in now, our shows are actually really great. Tell your friends, your brother, dad, and mom to tune in at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lizanne Flynn. Before we get back into the program, I just want to give you a heads up. Next week on the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio, I'm going to have a wonderful woman on. Her name is Renna Sheffo. Renna is a practicing shaman, among other things. I think she's quite bright. She's someone that I actually took my first ever shamanic journey with in a group situation. And when Ren and I get together, we talk about all things kind of mystical. We might talk about the four elements. We certainly are going to talk about shamanism. So I'd invite you to tune in next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And I believe that would be noon Eastern on the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio. And after the show today or at any point during the next week, feel free to go to my Facebook fan page, The Animal's Eye View with the number one. My website's still being revamped. Hopefully I'm going to be unveiling that within the next couple of weeks, so I would invite you to at least go there. You can sign up for my newsletter, give me a shout-out. Whatever you'd like to do, whatever resonates with you is what I would love for you to do. So getting back to our subject at hand. So the 11th century Arabic psychologist, and I do apologize, I cannot pronounce his name, so I'm not going to slaughter it, wrote the treatise on the influence of melodies on the souls of animals, an early treatise dealing with the effects of music on animals. And in this paper, he demonstrated how a camel's pace could be hastened or slowed down with the use of music, and shows other examples of how music can affect, again, from the outside, animal behavior, experimenting with horses, birds, and reptiles even. Excuse me. Through to the 19th century, a majority of scholars in the Western world continued to believe that music was a distinctly human phenomenon, but experiments since then have validated this psychologist's view that music does indeed have an effect on animals. And in the literature, intelligence is defined as whatever is closest to human performance and neglects behaviors that our humans are usually incapable of, i.e. echolocation. So, and for me, that's kind of the quarrel that I have with a school such as, or studies such as, comparative psychology, is that they look at and they take these animal beings, and it's kind of like, to me, putting a square peg in a round hole. and trying to make them fit into what I think is arguably, although a lovely experience, a limited human experience, and kind of disregarding, and rather than have a reciprocal study of those things that animals are capable of, that humans are not capable of, we just kind of shove them off to the side. But most certainly, echolocation, I would think that that's where, and if memory serves, that's where our study and development creation of radar came from. The ability to send out a pulse of energy, a sound, a movement, have it bounce off something solid and come back, feeding us information about the location of that other object. So we compare ourselves to animals, but really how equitable, we compare animals to ourselves rather, but how equitable is that? As I said, they have all sorts of amazing and wonderful innate abilities. And as we humans attempt to mimic those things and to believe it is one and the same, and it isn't, and why exactly is that so threatening to us and to science? Would it not be far better to speak with the animals, to ask them how it is for them, and go directly to the source? It's interesting to note that as we're on the subject of science, it was Freud who stated the following: children have no scruples over allowing animals to rank as their full equal. That from Freud himself. So what is it exactly that leads adult humans and those in charge, arguably, to believe that animal beings are not on the same yet completely different level emotionally, intuitively, intellectually as a human being? Is it because they're different than we are? Is it because they don't speak the same language as we do? I saw a truly horrifying video on Facebook the other day, and it was horrifying not because of violence or profanity. It was horrifying to me because in it a woman was asking the question, do dogs have brains? And she went on in my humble opinion, self-aggrandizing way for several minutes. So this was one of those selfie videos. It appears that she was bitten as a small child in an unprovoked manner, and as such, then in the future, would walk across the street to avoid contact with dogs. This led her in her adult years to question if dogs had brains because they can't speak English, according to her, and they seem to be really mean to her. And to this woman, I offer unlimited amounts of love and compassion in healing the wound from her childhood if she chooses to do so. And it wasn't so much her questioning of the obvious that troubled me. It was her dismissal of an entire species of sentient beings because they didn't communicate as she did and didn't act as she acted. And it's a fact that may be hard for some human beings to accept that we are also the animal kingdom. And I think sometimes it's that very definition of animal that touches our shadow side and which makes us shrink back and say, no, no, I'm better than an animal. Even the behavior of nature sometimes, of predator and prey, and of their biologically based actions towards survival of the fittest, leave us shrinking back and wanting to not be that. And so throughout time, I think we've created these divisions between ourselves as sentient beings and animals as sentient beings, where no division is even necessary. We've created categories of animal, pet, and livestock, into which we cast all animals wild and tame. And when we do that, we see them as being inferior and not really a true part of our community because they are different. And so they become outsiders. And as often it is with nature, that intricate, glowing web of connection that all living things on this planet, she becomes the outsider. And so I think the bottom line is that the majority of scientists still believe animals to be outside of themselves, and so study the behavior, the outside of the animal, when there is so much more going on the inside of the animal. To me, that's not any different than the scientific study of the human animal. I mean, we can study our behavior all we like, but it would be inconceivable to us to not ask, to just put a bunch of humans in a room and simply say, well, they're acting this way. What can we deduce from how they're behaving, what their actions are? We would no more do that to a group of humans than I don't know, the man on the moon. We would ask, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? what was your motivation for getting you to this point of these particular actions? And so it is with our companion animals. And the only difference being is that with another human, we do have the gift of language. We do have that verbal communication that we can do with them. With animals, though, and trust me when I say this, you absolutely do have the ability to communicate with them. Again, as Chrissy so wonderfully put forth, her dog absolutely picked up. Even though in Chrissy's mind, she was speaking Spanish, she held the same universal concept of dog in her mind. And that made her companion animal sit up, take notice, and say, yes, absolutely, I am that. I heard what you said. And I would invite everybody out there more and more and more with your companion animals, with animals in the wild. If you're out there in the wild and you would like to see an animal, I would invite you to send out a clear enough message to that animal and say, I would love to see you. I would love to experience some of your magnificence. I would love to exchange a few moments of energy with you. And if you put forth a clear enough request, even if it's just with your thinking mind, the most powerful thing of all, I can practically guarantee that you will have absolutely that communication with them. Everybody, we're heading into the last minute of the show. I can't believe it's gone by so fast. Thank you so much for being with me here today. Thank you to Chrissy, my fabulous producer, who hung in there with me through thick and thin and the internet going in and out. Please join me every Thursday at noon Eastern, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Take very, very good care of yourselves and your animal companions this week, and remember to say to yourself and to them at least once a day, I love you. I'm Lizanne Flynn, and this has been the Animal's Eye View on Transformation Talk Radio. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Animal's Eye View with Lizanne Flynn. Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you? For more information and to schedule a personal session with Lizanne, visit theanimalseyeview.com. That's theanimalseyeview.com. Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
There is not just one kind of radio show. Some shows are about health, wellness, food. Others are about helping you on your spiritual journey. Some radio shows are all about busting through and getting unstuck from the crust in your life. But the Dr. Pat Show, well, she does it all. She's been helping people in all aspects of their life now for 10 years. Her interview style, her unique personality, the amazing guests she has on her show are all factors of what makes an amazing radio show. Please join Dr. Pat in celebrating 10 extraordinary years of talk radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for supporting us for the past 10 years. Positive Talk Radio was a vision that we've had, and thanks to all of you, you've helped us make it a reality. We are promising each and every one of you that this coming year, our 10th year anniversary, will be the best yet. For more information, please make sure you stay tuned to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com. And remember, join me. Let's live life full out together.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit TheDrPatShow.com. That's TheDrPatShow.com for listening times in your area.
The Divine Divas Radio Show with Patricia Iris Cairns and co-host Cheryl Angela is dedicated to being love in action and joy in jumping into the next new paradigms for humanity. Divine Divas Radio is evolutionary, revolutionary, and soul-empowered, sharing insights of hope, love, and joy every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join the divas and evolutionary visionaries each week as we step into the new era of oneness and peace together. And visit DivineDivasRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Get your shift together with Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden Saturday, November 16th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Seattle Center for Spiritual Living for this collaboration between two of the most inspiring teachers, highlighting their unique paths as they explore the latest scientific studies and how this information can empower you during this critical period of our history. Making a difference in the world starts with you. To register, go to joedispenza.com/events. That's joedispenza.com/events.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Are you interested in learning about how to add more eco-conscious living into your life? Amy Tuwillis, broker and owner of Rhino Roz Realty, is dedicated to helping people buy and sell healthy homes. She strives to educate people on incorporating more green features into your environment. Rhino Roz Realty wants to be a resource before, during, and after a transaction. Whether someone is buying or selling a single-family home, multifamily, condo, or investment property, Rhino Roz can provide the service and knowledge that is needed to make informed decisions. For a free market analysis or more information about greening your home, contact Amy at rhinoroz.com, R-H-I-N-O-R-O-Z.com, or call 206-508-1250. Rhino Roz Realty, charging on your behalf in the Northwest.
If you want to write a book, find your soulmate, change careers, Saskia helps her clients to reinvent their lives through her breakthrough program, Seven Gifts to Unlock Your Breakthrough Miracle.
The daily support, the guided meditation, the powerful exercises designed of the seven gifts to unlock your miracle to expand awareness and help me to consciously create the life I want for myself and my family.
You'll learn her proven secrets to unlock your miracle in just 7 days.
You know, each day I look forward to discovering what new technique or tool Saskia offers us in order to find our highest purpose. It offers that daily. I am held accountable for my goals to live a healthy and happy life. Right now, I have renewed energy to write my book, and I even wrote my first chapter after only 5 days of this program.
Visit BreakthroughMiracle.com to receive your free seven gifts to unlock your miracle or to schedule a free breakthrough session with Saskia. Call 978-302-0861.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com. transformationtalkradio.com.